Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joe Madden is here. Tony, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
I'm here about the business. Ain't that right, Joe?
Joe Madden.
He's got that flair about him. When his name's announced, the place erupts all the time, but he's always in the middle of something good.
Manager for the Chicago Cubs.
And then Cliff and Shelley, the Penguins. I mean, all this stuff, the Penguins, like, pooped all over. They poop every 15 minutes, apparently. That's what Penguins do. All over the brand-new rug on the other side. That's what's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, I learned a lot from watching Joe.
Joe Madden with Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
Okay, nice.
We get the opportunity every week to talk with the manager of your Chicago Cubs, Joe Madden, and his show is presented by Magellan Corporation. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. What's up, Joe?
Good afternoon, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Well, I had my cup of coffee. I did the lineup. I'm ready to go.
Okay. Well, anything interesting in the lineup today?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have Zobrist leading off today, and Wilson Contreras will be back, too.
Oh, that's great news. Wilson Contreras is back. One of the things I was going to ask you about Zoe was, what were some of the things that you were looking for in the few days that he was back that made you confident about putting him in the lineup?
Well, the big part about it was just taking our time with it. He had been sick the week before and really hadn't played in several days, so we wanted to be very sure that he's ready to go. And again, knowing Zoe like I do conversationally, is just trying to wait for the right moment. The other day, I put him in the on-deck circle against Tater because we were down to three players left, and he was the best option, but I was really trying to avoid him on that day, too. So today was the day we had targeted. He and I talked about it. So he's out there today. He's had a couple days here to get his ground balls, take his BP, get reacclimated, all that stuff. And that's the part that people don't really consider sometimes. It's been a very difficult year for him personally, and he comes back to play baseball right before doing that, and he got sick. So, again, just wanted to be a little bit overly cautious, but he's ready to rock and roll tonight.
What's it like to have him back in your clubhouse?
Oh, it's great. I mean, he's just such a stable personality and figure within our group. The guys definitely look up to him. Obviously, that's just who Zoe is. He's the kind of guy that, as a baseball player, you're going to gravitate towards him because he's so matter-of-fact. He gets into it. He's emotional in that regard. But at the end of the day, he could really explain himself very simply and well. And I think the other guys feel that impact.
Wilson behind the plate, or you have him in the outfield?
Oh, no, he's behind the plate. Absolutely, he's behind the plate. We got Johnny Lester pitching tonight. So getting him back with Lester, we thought would be a good idea.
Okay. Do you have to be careful about how much you catch him because of all the hamstring stuff?
Of course. You know, tonight he would – I think he was scheduled to catch nine innings. He hasn't done that yet. I talked to him yesterday on the phone after the game, and he's still pretty confident. So is our trainers. But we'll see how the game's in progress. If he has to catch a lot of pitches early in the game, if there's a lot of pitches thrown, that's part of it, too. How many times he has to squat? I mean, six innings with 150 pitches is different than six innings with maybe 73. So there's always variables. And we'll just watch him carefully and try to make our best guess.
What's the latest on Javi Baez?
He's good. He just did it. I'm giving him today off again. It was too sore to play yesterday's thumb. Probably he would tell me he might be able to play today, but with tomorrow off, thought this was a perfect opportunity to give him a little mini all-star break. And I don't know if you've been watching Addison on defense. He's been great also. So under the circumstances, getting these other guys back tonight, we thought it'd be best to give Javi his 3 days off. And then I think by Thursday, he should be pretty much back to normal with a full tank.
I remember there was a game when you took Darvish out and everyone was like, oh, my God, I can't believe Joe took Darvish out. He was rolling. And now I think we probably have a clearer picture on why you did that, is that he was struggling with some stuff. So what's going on with him, and how confident are you that he's going to make his next start?
that actually happens often, though, when the conjecture is created. And I told you before, I'm not going to defend myself, but a lot of times when people rush to judgment, they don't have all the facts. But that's part of our game when it comes down to controversy or people trying to evaluate or critiquing judgment making. There's so many other little things involved in these decisions. As an example, like Zobrist, not playing the last 2 days on purpose and then having him play today. So all these things are set up. Moving forward, I think Darvish is going to be fine. I think we were trying to curtail some of his innings pitch. He's really building up after last year where he did not pitch that often. But the good part about it, if you look at number of pitches thrown, he's been really pitch efficient this year. So even though the innings are higher, I think overall the number of pitches thrown are still a little bit more tasty overall. So I anticipate him being well. I saw him in the weight room yesterday. He was all smiles. So I'm hoping and believing that he'll be able to pitch on Saturday.
Cubs manager Joe Maddon joining me here on The Score. So some of the offensive struggles returned, as is its wont to do in baseball. It happens like that sometimes. How much was it Milwaukee and Seattle's pitching, and how much was it approach?
It's approach-based. Listen, I'm not going to denigrate anybody. We just got done beating DeGrom, Syndergaard, and Stroman in New York with great approach. And then you come back home, and we don't have the same approach against these other pitchers. And it really comes down – the approach, that's a broad word. It really comes down to organization of strike zone. It's the ability to not want to fire on pitches out of the zone. It's the ability to be willing to accept your walk. Your dad used to tell you walk is as good as a hit. There's sometimes I prefer the hit. But when a pitcher doesn't want to throw the ball with the plate, we have to be better at not offering. And it happened again yesterday. Eventually, Schwarbs hit the bag, and we get a triple, and all of a sudden the game breaks open. But for us to really get this thing done as we move it forward, man, it's going to be all about our organization of the strike zone. Getting Zoe back really helps that a lot. Wilson normally has control of the strike zone, too. I think a more rested Javi Baez will not foul off the pitch that he normally does put in the stands or at least in the gap. All this stuff matters, but primarily, our biggest problem has been that, period. It's just been organization of our strike zones.
For someone hearing you, a Cub fan in their car or at their desk today, hearing you talk about the importance of Ben Zobrist, they might go, well, why is he so important? And you talk about the at-bats that he takes. What about the way that he approaches a plate appearance might be something that can be beneficial to the Cubs versus some other guys?
Well, when he's at the top of the batting order, Zoe's always had this wonderful ability to accept his walk. And again, it's not just about getting a hit to him. He's able to watch the ball, watch the pitch, and he pretty much stays in his zone. Being the leadoff hitter, the guy on the deck, the guy in the hole, Castellanos, Rizzo, et cetera, today, they get a good idea what the pitcher throws just by watching how Zoe works his at bat. So it also sets a great example for the rest of the group. He's been like that since I've seen him in 2007. He's always been that guy that's been able to do that. And when he's really on top of his game from the side, it's really fun to watch because you can see when the pitch is coming from the pitcher's mound as it's thrown, and you can see where it's not going to be a strike. And this all happens very quickly, obviously, but you see how quickly he shuts it down and doesn't even offer. That's where he's a separator, and that's why he's been such a valuable player for so many years.
What does it say about Jason Hayward that he was willing to take on the challenge of leadoff, even though it's not the place where he feels most comfortable in the lineup?
Yes. I mean, it gets a little bit annoying to me personally when people hammer on Jason because this guy is a consummate pro, and he's a huge reason why we've been successful the last several years. And furthermore, I know maybe the numbers didn't reflect it, and I don't even know how to argue this, but our record was really good when he was the leadoff hitter. And that's just Jason getting out there and being in the lead. He's one of our lead bulls. And again, maybe it doesn't work the same at bat as Zobrist, but his presence matters. I believe in presence, and Jay Wood's got a ton of that. So he'll be back up there on occasion. But I'm telling you, man, on a daily basis, interacting with the rest of the group and my interaction with him, I've really grown to appreciate this fellow a lot.
The last couple of times that I've come down to the clubhouse, you know, I went and talked with Castellanos after, you know, obviously we had a great moment on the radio. And I said to Jason Hayward, I said, you know, you guys kind of remind me of each other. And he said, that's my guy. He's like, we're very much alike. And I can see it like in the approach, in the way that they care, even though both those guys are consummate professionals, there's a level of emotion that's like just underneath with both of those guys that you can see peek out occasionally. And when it happens, it's pretty great.
Yeah, there's no question about that. They are somewhat kindred spirits in that regard. I think it's really motivated by wanting to win. Jason Hayward recently, like you said, as a leadoff hitter, the numbers weren't good, but Jason has one agenda, and that is to win. And look at our record when he's a leadoff hitter. I mean, like I said, you could argue there's so many different ways, like 22-10 or something, I think, to that effect. So what does that mean? I am so beyond just the numbers themselves, and I am into the numbers, but feel exists, and Jason provides that method at the top, and then you get Castellanos right behind him, that 1-2 situation, and they're out there eager, and they have, like I said, they have one thing on their minds, that's for the Cubs to win somehow, and that becomes contagious. So I appreciate that, I really do, and I think, you know, that both of these guys are going to be a big part of our playoff run into the playoffs this year.
I know that you're sitting there, you're worried about the next move that you're going to make, you're watching the game, but even as just someone who loves baseball the way that you do, did you have a good chuckle when you saw Brad Wick's curveball yesterday?
I did. I mean, listen, when he came here, that's supposed to be his least effective pitch, but he's been working on it, and all of a sudden he's dumping hooks in there on first pitches, and I'll tell you what, when a big left-hander like that does with this really riding fastball and he throws your first pitch curveball strike, I can't even begin to tell you what that does to a hitter's mind. You talk about uncertainty at that point. It's an uncomfortable at bat. He's throwing from an unusual angle, and he's doing it with command. And now command of a curveball with a really hard, I don't know if it's 12-6, but it's close to that break, and then a riding fastball, and composure. My God, this guy has been so composed. He's walked out there, and he's thrown strikes both appearances. He's a huge weapon as we move forward. We're just loaded with Wicks right now, and they've both done great.
Yeah, it's so funny because a guy that's that big, like you're already kind as a hitter, you're probably already intimidated. And then to see Seager duck out of the way and then the ball fall, you know, harmlessly into the strike zone, it was almost cartoonish.
I had a guy played with Mark Clear. Horse was back in the day. I think eventually closed with the Red Sox. Was with them in the minor leagues with the Angels. Horse used to get that all the time. There's such great spin on it. And Horse was tall, too. Not maybe as tall, but pretty big. And you get these big guys, and it's almost like it's a slurve. It's something between a curveball and a slider. It's thrown harder with bigger break. And Horst did the same thing. There's been other guys that are able to command that pitch. I think David Cone has something to that effect also. It's unnatural, but like you suggested, when they're that tall, when guys are that tall, and then just imagine the arm up even a little bit higher, standing on the mound, it's an unusual angle for a hitter to have to cope with.
And for those of you who are sitting there wondering, well, wait, Joe's talking about the record with Hayward in leadoff. The record is 22-10 when Jason Hayward has led off this season. That's from our guys that are doing all the information. Cody Westerlund breaking it all down. We're talking for a few minutes with Joe Madden here on The Score. Joe, Felix Hernandez is one of the greatest pitchers of this generation. And I know that you had to deal with him in both Anaheim and in Tampa Bay. It's hard to watch him struggle at this point in his career. At his best, what was this guy?
Well, top three. He threw a perfect game against my Rays team a couple years ago in Seattle. At that time, you know, the fastball was mid-90s. He's got this an electric changeup. I mean, nobody even talks about his changeup. He's got, you know, the slider, whatever, breaking ball. But his changeup is cartoonish, and the fastball was all of that. Plus, he had a flair about him. He had this deception about him. He had this aggressiveness, this conviction about per pitch. He had all that stuff going. He started when he was 20, something like that. I remember watching him in spring training games over in Peoria. And, wow, you know, you heard all about it, then you get to see it. And he's a great guy on top of that. So I've known him for a bit. I've always been an admirer. It's different now. I've been watching the video. It's 90 to 92 maybe velocity-wise. The changeup is still effective, though, and if it's got depth, it's still a very effective pitch, and of course, just his competitive nature. But this guy's been top; he was top three probably back in the day.
What type of approach do you want to see guys take?
Well, you have to stay on the fastball. If you try to hit the changeup, if you're looking for that, you're going to swing at the bad changeup. The ball's got to be more up in his zone. If it's down, he will get his ground balls. He'll get his chase, and that's what we got to avoid. We just need to be more. mentally aware of getting pitchers to pitch the ball up. And once they do that, we have a better chance. I don't mean like up over their heads high. I just mean up in the zone, at least thigh high area. Because if you're chasing the changeup down, you will. And it's going to be a swing or miss or a rollover.
Joe, do you feel like as a team you guys are whole now? I mean, Zobrist is back. Contreras is back. You've got a big full roster of guys to choose from each night. Does it feel better than maybe it did a couple weeks ago where there was still some uncertainty from an injury and roster standpoint?
Well, we've been battling all kinds of things all summer, and as soon as Hobby's back in there, the band will be back together pretty nicely. It has been, but again, I listen, every team goes through it, and for the most part, we've held our own well. We just, again, there's only one reason why our record's not even 20 games over. We've just been inconsistent offensively, and that's what we really got to get together this last month. I've said it 1,001 times, the run is in the offense. And I'm not talking about just beating people up. I'm just talking about making pitchers get us out within the strike zone. That's it. And if we could adhere to that, we will have a nice finish to the season.
All right, I reached into the box because there are some good questions from Cub fans that want to know your opinion on this stuff. This one is really interesting. You talk about getting into the psyche of someone. The question is, Joe, would you rather never play or always lose?
Would you rather never play? I don't understand.
So if you can either never play baseball or right. You can play, but you're always going to lose.
Oh, wow. You have to want to play because even if you may lose, you still believe you're going to win. This game is so addictive. I mean, that's a tough method to wrap your mind around. I have to play baseball. You would have had to have played baseball. Yes.
Okay, that's good. Here, this other one, not as deep, but definitely is interesting. How long would you last in a zombie apocalypse?
Oh, my God. I'd be the last one standing. No question.
Okay, what's your – all right, I got to know. What's the method? Well, how are you going to be the last one standing?
Again, competitively speaking, I'll tell you, I mean, probably when my knee was in better shape, it'd even be more evasive. There's just something about it's just like competing with what we do every day. You always believe you're going to be the last one standing. And if you don't, you're not going to be. So if you believe you're not, then you won't. And then if you believe you are, then you have a chance to be. So, I mean, just from a competitive situation, I shall be the last one standing only because I believe it. And the only way that's ever going to happen is if I truly do believe it.
I like that. I like that quite a bit. Here's another one. What old person thing do you do?
Old person thing that I do? Woof. That's strange. My first thing is coffee, but I don't know if that's young and old. I'm addicted to my morning coffee. I love that. The old person thing, I like to drive cars. Is that an old person thing? They're talking about cars with no driverless cars coming up. Could you imagine that? And even the electric car, and I know the environmentalists are going to hate me, but I got to hear the engine. I got to hear the roar of the engine. I like loud pipes. So, the old person, I love to drive. I think that's like number one amongst the coffee. And other than that, old person, thank God, I can't say it's the way I dress. I mean, where I go, I went and saw the concert the other night, Mark Knopfler from Dire Straits. My God, he was fantastic at the Chicago Theater. So I don't have a lot of old stuff things that I do.
Okay, well, since you went to a concert, I know you saw the Stones. Mm-hmm. What's the best mm-hmm. concert that you've been to? One that's really like stuck in your mind?
Well, I honestly, it's got to be the first time you see Springsteen at Lafayette. I mean, the visceral component of that in the 70s, $4 ticket, alumni gym, all that kind of stuff. That really stands up. But then the one that had the biggest impact that I could really remember was in 2005, the Stones at Anaheim Stadium. I just got the job as the manager of the Tampa Bay Devil Rays at that time. And I go to this concert, and Artie Moreno lets us use their box right behind home plate. And a lot of my players were there that I'd been working with the Angels. They're all there. So we got all this going on. Just got this job. My players are there, congratulatory. And then I watch a 61-year-old, I think at that time, Mick Jagger doing his thing. And you talk about inspirational. because I'm like 51, I'm just getting my job as a major league manager. And then I see this guy at 61, what he's doing still. And I think, wow, I'm definitely going to be doing that 10 years from now. And then I just saw him at 75 or so recently at Soldier Field. So boom, there's my inspiration once again. So I think the most inspirational concert I've been to is just from that perspective, seeing the Stones at Anaheim Stadium.
I know that you do your meetings, you have it spread out, you know exactly how you want to do them throughout the year, but considering where things stand right now and you're in the last month of the season, you're getting some pieces back, do you say anything extra to the guys as you're preparing to try and track down the Cardinals?
No, not at all. I mean, it's just the absolutely the opposite. I mean, I talk all the time. I mean, I meet with guys that come in my office, I talk to them individually. I'll talk to the coaches to bring a message to them because the coaches meet with them prior to each series. See, the worst part to me is when you start doing things that you normally don't do right now. And that believe me, that sets off alarms. It's crazy, but it does. For me to get more involved in that, I don't think is necessary. Been doing this, like I said, since 06 pretty well. Things have turned out pretty well. And the only time I went nuts, I think I told you, was in Kansas City in 2008 after a win on the road, but that was necessary. This group here is motivated. They're focused. Nobody's taking anything for granted. The coaches are outstanding. My job is to coach the coaches and have conversations with the players. And then if I have to interject, I try to pick and choose. It could be a text. It could be a phone call. It could be come in my office for 5 minutes. And I do that, or I walk the outfield grass. It's a constant flow of communication. But to do things out of the ordinary right now, for me, it's not necessarily needed.
Joe, as always, I appreciate the time. Good luck against King Felix tonight.
All right, buddy. Be well. See ya.
You got it. That's Joe Maddon, manager of the Cubs. I don't know why, and I should have known that Joe was like, oh, no, I'll be out here with a chainsaw and be the last one standing. I was expecting him to be more like, maybe I hang around for a little while, and then am I surprised? Should I be surprised by this, Tony? Or you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I wasn't expecting to be like, no, I'm the last one standing.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that from what we've kind of glimpsed. But it's always something new with Joe every week. You know what's funny? He might have been actually watching the same episode of The Office that I was last night. It was when they got locked out of the office. Dwight has both keys to get into the office. And then Pam, you know, Pam, we hate
trash.
Pam,
trash, yeah.
Pam. She's like, well, what if you die? Who's going to open up the office? And he's like, oh, if I die, you guys have been dead for weeks.
And I feel like that's
feel
kind
like
of
that's
what Joe
where
said.
Coming from.
Joe kind of told you that was the deal. So the news, of course, is that Ben Zobrist will lead off for the Cubs. Wilson Contreras is back in the lineup, and he is going to catch. Speaking of Ben Zobrist, Zoe had a press conference this weekend. And there's some of it that I'd like to share with you. A couple things from a baseball standpoint and from a personal standpoint. We will do that after a quick timeout. My name is Lawrence Holmes. You're listening to The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Pumps his hands towards the plate. Now the 1-1 pitch swung on, hit high in the air, deep to right field. Craig Dieterle racing back onto the warning track at the wall. It is gone! Ben Zobrist, a solo bomb to right center.
That was when Zobrist was in the minors. He is now in the majors. He will be leading off for the Cubs tonight, per Joe Maddon. You just told us that here on The Score. Wilson Contreras back in the lineup tonight. He will be catching as the Cubs send John Lester to the mound. They will take on Felix Hernandez and the Seattle Mariners. Tomorrow, we're doing some cool stuff. Tomorrow, we're out at Navy Pier doing the show, which is great. I'm very much looking forward to that. That's going to be a good time. And then Thursday, our back-to-football rally that we're going to do. We'll be right at the bottom of our building here, Prudential Plaza. and we'll do a live broadcast. Then we'll have our pre. It's so weird that, you know, you get the Labor Day weekend and then you're right there. You're there. You don't have to wait till Sunday. Bears games start Thursday. It's nice. And it's nice. You know what I like about this selfishly, and maybe you do too. I like that the Bears play on Thursday and I have all weekend long to do whatever I want, which is probably going to be couch sitting and watching college football and then the NFL return on Sunday.
Yes. The drug that is NFL Red Zone.
That's right. It's back.
In my veins. All of it.
And the you get the added bonus of the Bears are playing the Packers. So you don't have to worry about watching the Packers game because you already saw it on Thursday. I'm going to be red zoning it like crazy on Sunday.
I don't know if there's anything that television has produced that gives you directly what you need every single time.
In your veins.
In the veins.
Like, give me it. I'll have to do this later on this week. Like throughout the summer, I do this a lot. I'll just flip over to Red Zone just because I want to hear the great NFL music. And I want to see the little card that's like, we'll be back in September. Now it's September and y'all about to be back. And it's going to be great. And the Bears have an island game on Thursday. They get to kick off the 100 year of football in the NFL. Baby. We'll do a little bit more on that because there's something cool happened over at Soldier Field earlier today and we are going to discuss. Since we were talking about Ben Zobrist, you may have missed it because you were doing stuff this weekend. It was Labor Day weekend. You probably had trips scheduled. You were off your regular routine. Well, Ben Zobrist came back, and as soon as September 1 came, they made the roster adjustment with David Bodie. They got him on there, so he is eligible to be on the playoff roster. After being taken off the exempt list. So he's back, and he had a press conference to kind of talk about a bunch of things. So I'm going to start with the baseball aspect of it first. And the whole press conference was like 18 minutes. I'm not going to do that. Me and Tony listened to it, and we're going to give you just kind of the meat. But this is Ben Zobrist talking about the baseball aspect of his absence.
I didn't know. Didn't know if I'd come back at all. Just because, you know, not sure how much more baseball I'm going to be playing anyway. So, but, you know, the timing is right for me to be here now, and I feel good about that. I feel good about just doing what I can to help the club down the stretch here and hopefully push into the playoffs and then a lot further than that.
How did you leave it with the Cubs? I mean, when you took the leave of absence, mm-hmm. Did you know that there was a possibility that they would just say, well, we need to move on from you, or was there an understanding of some sort?
You know, at the time it was just, hey, take the time that you need. There was no, we'll be waiting or anything like that. You got to do what's most important for you and your family. And they understood that, and they were great about that, and I'm nothing but grateful for how they've handled the whole situation and given me the time and space that I needed to take care of my situation.
But were you prepared for them to say we just can't sustain this any longer?
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, I would have understood completely. However, they needed to move forward, even if it was the next day after that. So it's, you know, I've baseball has given me nothing but. You know, kind of blessings and opportunities and things. So, of course, you know, they're my employer. They can do what they would like to do. And, you know, I'm fortunate that they gave me the time that they gave me to, and then still wanted me back. You know, it's just kind of other things could have happened and they could have picked up other guys in the meantime and not needed me. But the fact that there's still, you know, a spot, you know, in September, for me, that's why I'm here, you know, to see what I can bring to the club and see if there's anything that I can add to the playoff push here.
There was a lot of interesting stuff in what he said about the baseball part. And he said, you know, my faith is important, my family is important, and baseball comes after those two things. And he wanted to give 100% when he walked through the door. And at the time that he left, he felt like he didn't, he wasn't able to give 100%. And that was the promise that he made, that once he stepped back into the clubhouse, that he was going to give 100%. So there's more. Obviously, with this being a personal issue of whether or not, you know, you're going to break up your family, you're going to get divorced, he was asked a little bit about that and it, the role that it played in him, whether or not he wanted to come back to play baseball and how he was going to approach it.
It was a very easy decision for me. Very easy. Because, you know, I'm a 100% focused type of person. And I knew that at that moment, there was no way I could be here and be focused while I was here. And so I didn't want to give half effort while I was here and think, you know, think about where my head and heart really were. So I knew that for at least a period of time, I needed to fully put myself back in Nashville at home with my family, doing everything I could to, you know, keep my family together, you know, and that was my focus. So that's where my heart was at the time, and that's where my heart remains. And, you know, I'm here now because my heart feels like I can put whatever I, while I'm here at the field, I can put 100% into it, and I can really, like, get after it with my teammates. So that's what I'm looking forward to, that push right here down the stretch.
Zobrist will lead off tonight for the Cubs. The bottom of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Your Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves will open the season on Saturday, October 5th. For group and season tickets, visit chicagowolves.com. We need to take a timeout. I would like to talk a little football. I am in the mood. And there was something cool that happened at Soldier Field today. They unveiled the Halas statue and the Peyton statue. I want to share some cool moments from that.
Hi, it's Mitch Good. You're in the mood.
No. Oh, really? You want to play this game? Because I know something that we could talk about that I'm in the mood to talk about if you prefer. Maybe it's not is Mitch Good. Maybe there's another Chicago icon we could ask that same question of, since you had questions about that. Would you rather do that?
Am I scared of? No, I'm not scared of this one. So, yeah, I can do this one.
Oh, you're not scared anymore?
No. What? No, not that one.
Oh.
No, never.
You're not scared.
Never that one. I'm talking about the conversation we had earlier today before.
No. I'm talking about the one you ran away from last week.
No. We're not doing that. No, sir.
I was over at Channel 5. I did Sports Sunday. I got to hang out with my man Jeff Blanzy and Siafa. Siafa he unbuttoned like the four buttons this time. Four buttons. That's confidence. And it's so funny to me. Steve Lippo, who's the EP over there, said he was in the car listening. And he goes, Tony's not scared of anything, but he's definitely scared of that thing that you brought up. I was like, oh, yeah, he is.
Tony lets any dumb thoughts fly.
Correct. And I actually don't think that this one's dumb. I just think that it puts Tony in a real bad spot being a black Chicagoan of a certain age. That's all. But he said we should totally talk about it. I agree with him. We won't do it next. We're going to talk about the Bears next. You know, whenever we need to set a date for when we're going to do that show.
And we go to break.
We'll go to break right now, but we'll be back after this on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
At 1 o'clock, we are going to start our weekly conversations with Pat Manley. Very much looking to talk forward to talking with Patrick Manley. It's weird because this feels like a Monday, but it's not. It's game one, and you're thinking that it's on a Sunday, but it isn't. It's on Thursday, so there's a lot of Bears stuff to discuss. I did a whole podcast this morning on Roquan Smith. So I do a podcast. It's called LoHo Daily. I do like four podcasts, but you get the idea. The one that I do for here is called LoHo Daily, and this week I spent some time looking back at a couple things. Sunday, I did a pod about the one-year anniversary of Khalil Mack being traded for and then given the extension by the Bears. I thought that the Roquan Smith story and the way that he played last year was one of the most under-the-radar stories in covering the Bears.
Especially because that story could have been flipped. Because we know how, you know, Bears fans gets because, you know, he held out.
Right.
And because of how well he played, people forgot about that, but people were prepared to pounce on him.
And what happens is he goes out in that first game and, like, first play gets sacked. And then is one tackle shy of Brian Urlacher's rookie tackle record. He played great last year, but it's lost in everything else. It's lost in new coach, 12-4. How's Mitch doing? Is Mitch good? Oh, my God. Khalil Mack's on the team. Like, all of that is lost. All of that makes it so that what Roquan Smith did is lost. So I'd spent a few minutes talking about that. So LoHo Daily today is about Roquan Smith. And, again, I went and talked about Khalil Mack. If you want to go back, please subscribe. That way you can get stuff just – it'll be sent to you and you'll be good to go. You'll be ready with the downloads, all that good stuff. The radio.com app is where you can find it. Yesterday, I'm really bad with days off. I'm terrible at them. Yesterday in the morning, I did a pretty good job of just living in the along. I went out. Mel and I walked around Hyde Park. We had great breakfast. We ended up having some gelato. Like, it was a really, really cool. And then the afternoon came, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch this Cubs game and get ready for that. Let's see if they can score some runs. And then they finally did in the seventh inning. After the game was over, knowing that I wanted to watch Notre Dame Louisville later on, I'm like, well, what am I going to do with this window? Oh, and I caught up on the boys. Man, fam.
Fam.
Very much looking forward to season two of The Boys on Amazon. If you haven't checked it out and you're a superhero guy or you like political shows, I know that's a weird thing to tie together, but trust me, it's tied together. You should be watching that. Or if you just like Elizabeth Shue, who is still throwing 90, 99 on the outside black, go right ahead. The Boys is phenomenal. It is adult. Do not let your children watch it.
Yeah, superheroes, children should not be anywhere near this show.
Do not let them watch it. I'm telling you. It's a public service announcement from me to you. Don't let your child watch The Boys. You go right ahead and watch it. And when you're done watching it, hit me up because it's amazing. Anyway, so I said to Mel, I was like, well, you know, I got some time on my hands. I'm going to go see if I can get a sneak peek at those statues because I don't live very far from Soldier Field. I'm like 10 minutes away. So I'm going to see if I can get down there and see if I can get a sneak peek. They actually had like security guards and they didn't unveil them until this afternoon, which I thought was very, very cool. But I was curious on how they're going to look. I thought both of them looked pretty good. The house one is perfect, the way that it is set up. I was curious on what, because I saw like the outline of it yesterday, and I go, what are they going to do with this? I thought that he would be holding his helmet. I thought that's what the route they would go, but he's holding the football. So the pose of Peyton is him high-stepping, holding the football out with his right hand. helmet on in game. I thought that they maybe go helmet off, headband, you know, the Jerry curl that Walter had back in the day, like that sort of thing. But I thought it turned out really well. I really enjoyed watching the ceremony. Channel 9 ran it live because Jared Payton is, you know, one of their sports anchors over there. And he spoke. Jeff Joniak was kind of the master of ceremonies in this. And my old partner was out there. And I love when Hamp talks about Walter Payton because he gets really emotional. And I think it's him at his absolute best is when he's talking about Payton. And he talks about Halas too. But I wanted you to take a listen, just a couple minutes of Dan Hampton at the statue unveiling, talking about these two men.
Finally, at long last, the two statues we've waited 100 years for. Think about it. At the risk of being overly obvious, it is only fitting that these two most colossal of all figures in a long line of gigantic characters of the Chicago Bears will forever be immortalized. To symbolize the greatness of the Chicago Bears, or maybe more importantly, to symbolize what the Bears mean to Bears fans, not only here in Chicago, but across this nation. The story of George Halas is not only unbelievable as the player, the coach, and the creator of the NFL and the Chicago Bears, but think of the millions of lives that his passion has touched and changed in the last 100 years. Just think of it. It's incomprehensible. Ditka, Gale Sayers, Walter, Butkus, Obradovich, me, Monk, all of us, our lives were inseparably changed because of this man's vision and his passion. But what is also incomprehensible is the fact that the many decisions that he made during his life changed the fate of so many of us, especially us players. And think about this, almost at the age of 80, after winning 6 championships with the Chicago Bears, George Halas and Jim Finks decided on drafting a young man that would become the heart and soul of Halas' final championship team. That was Walter Payton. Now, I played with Sweetness for 9 years, and every single day, and every one of the players that are here today and Coach Ditka will tell you the same thing. Every single day, Walter proved why he was not only the greatest player on the greatest team of all time, but he was exemplary in all walks of life.
That was Dan Hampton talking eloquently about Walter Payton and the impact of George Halas. He wasn't the only one who spoke. Mike Ditka, and you heard us talking a little bit in transition, Mike Ditka spoke as well. By the way, if you haven't noticed, like Grant Park, they're doing a whole welcome back to football thing. It's kind of like Draft Town, but it's already like up. I was driving past like, oh, because I think that we're doing our pregame show from there. Not the score. This is me because I have 100 jobs. NBC Sports Chicago. I think we're doing our pregame there. So hopefully it won't rain. Anyway, here's Mike Ditka talking about the two statues and the two men.
I was thinking back to years ago. I was an assistant coach for the Dallas Cowboys, and we were going to play the Chicago Bears, and I had to break down the film. So I broke down the film, and then I decided to take a look at the Bears offensive film. Thought that I may help Coach Landry with a couple of ideas. I had no idea now. This is 19—way back when. And I turned it on and I watched something I had never seen. I watched number 34, the most amazing football player I ever saw. And I turned the film off and I went into the Coach Landry's office and I said, Coach, will you come with me for a minute? He said, sure. He came into my office and I put the film back on and we sat there and watched it for about a half an hour. The most unbelievable thing I've ever seen. Not because of the talent. The talent was there because of the heart. He wanted to be, he willed to be, and he was the absolute best I've ever seen.
So that was Mike Ditka on Walter Payton. So now in front of, what is it, between like right as you walk through the Waldron deck, you will see the George Halas and Walter Payton statues. So that's something to look forward to on Thursday. I'm sure it won't be the thing that's necessarily top of mind for you on Thursday, but it's a nice little thing to have those two guys celebrate it this weekend. Another great Bear did something cool yesterday. If you didn't see it, Charles Tillman rowed across Lake Michigan in a rowboat. It took him 25 hours to do it, but he did it for his Cornerstone Foundation and raised a whole bunch of money doing it. So shout out to him. I hope that he's okay. I hope that he's hydrated today and good to go. But that was very, very cool. We are going to talk Bears, Packers, 2019 kickoff with Patrick Manley next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.